Welcome back to Moms Unbothered, the show where we ditch the toxins, trust our instincts, embrace a healthy lifestyle, and don't care who it bothers. I'm Kate.
And I'm Jordan.
Today is an exciting episode where we will discuss Jordan's birth story. Jordan took a less common route during pregnancy. She didn't once visit an OBGYN, but instead was under the care of a midwife. Jordan had no one in her life that had made a similar decision and was the first in her family to have a home birth. In this episode, we will discuss the type of care a midwife can provide, how pregnancy and labor looks completely different outside of a hospital, the hard truth of gender disappointment, a recounting of Jordan's home birth, and the mental challenges of an unmedicated birth. Before we get into this, if you love conversations that challenge the status quo and help you level up your health, take 2 seconds to hit that like button, subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, or leave a quick review if you're a podcast listener. It helps more moms like you find this podcast. And let's be real, the more of us out there, the less we have to explain why we don't let our kids eat McDonald's. Welcome back to another episode of Moms Unbothered. I'm Kate. This is Jordan. And today we're actually going to go over Jordan's birth story. She chose home birth and she's a rock star.
Thank you.
Yes. So I'm going to ask Jordan all the questions about home birth. I feel like before I even like within the last couple of years, I didn't really know people were birthing at home until my neighbor. She has 10 kids and she's birthed the last 4, I think, at home. So that's really where I was introduced to it. But other than that, like, I feel like it's kind of like a taboo thing to talk about. So I'm excited to ask Jordan these questions.
Thank you. Me too.
Jordan and I actually have never met yet. Isn't that crazy, you guys?
Crazy.
We've known each other for over a year. But yeah, we haven't met. So we're going to meet for the first time in March. So we're going to California and then we're going to go to Florida for Jordan's birthday in April.
Yes. Can't wait to get some sun.
Yeah, that will be fun. So yeah, we're going to get into the episode. And for my first question that I'm going to ask you is, what was your reasoning for choosing home birth? This is actually a 3-part question.
Okay.
What resources did you use to make the decision? Because I feel like obviously you did some research into this. And then how did you get Larry on board? I want to know if he was like, the first time you said it, was he like, oh, hell yeah? Or was he like, okay, chill out, crunchy mom. Like, what do you, you know yeah. what I mean?
Well, it's kind of, I don't know, I guess a little bit of a longer, like, leading up to the decision. I, probably like 5 years ago, I started binge watching this show on Netflix called Call the Midwife. And I was like, obsessed. I was like, I'm going to be a midwife one day. But anyways, that sort of spiraled me into the whole birth world. And I became a doula. And eventually I'll be a midwife. I'm just like, where I am location-wise, it would be really hard to do. So I think just like over the years, he just heard me talking about it constantly, the statistics, like how safe it actually is compared to hospital birth and, you know, just how midwives are actually medically trained and not just, oh, I'm going to go catch this baby. No, they actually know what to look out for and signs and all this. And so I think it was just years of just talking about it. My mind was made up, I mean, right away. That was around the time I started like going against the medical system anyway. And so it just sort of made sense to me. And getting him on board, just, I think my biggest advice to husbands or to wives who have husbands that are like iffy about it is just, you know, do a lot of research. And men like statistics. So I think that just made him feel better, just seeing the actual numbers and taking emotion out of it. Emotion plays a big role. At the end of the day, it is your birth. And I think you should, I mean, it may only be the one time you give birth. It should be what you want it to be. So definitely fight for what you want there. And how I found my midwife, is that what you asked?
No, but you can tell us that.
Oh, what was the second one you asked?
It was why you chose home birth in the first place, resources you used, and what Larry got on. So basically just your resources, but really you said the midwife show.
I read a lot of books. I listened to so many podcasts, like probably thousands of hours of like doctor OBGYNs talking about home birth. I wanted both sides. I wanted like the good and the bad side. So I listened to like Down to Birth podcast is a good one. Birthing Instincts was another one that's super informative. And lots of books, Brighton Baby, anything by Ina May, Sarah Wickham. I just, lots of research, lots and lots of research. And I looked up my state laws. I'm in Oklahoma. Every state has different home birth laws. Some don't even allow midwives to practice home birth, which we could get into at some point. But that's just, asinine. They do it in the name of safety, but then people feel the need to free birth, which is arguably not as safe. Some people do think it's safe. Depends on how you look at it. Anyways, so lots of research and how I found my midwife. I think I interviewed every single midwife in the state of Oklahoma because I was willing to travel for my care as well because there's not really anything around me. My midwife is actually 2 hours away and we would meet an hour in the middle at her clinical for appointments and whatnot. So yeah, I just interviewed every midwife. I went on all the local Facebook groups and asked around. Yeah, so just lots of questioning and discussions.
What's crazy is like so many people when I say like, oh yeah, I want to have a home birth to like normies, like people who don't get it, people who aren't into what we're into. They're like, oh my gosh, like what if the baby came out not breathing or what if you needed XYZ? And I'm like, guys, these midwives aren't just showing up like, all right, all we're here to do is catch the baby. And if something goes wrong, you're screwed. Like they are coming in with the medical equipment that you need. Like, you know, it's like very rare that a transfer is needed. Like they are bringing everything they need. If the baby wasn't breathing, if, you know, if the mom was bleeding out, like they have the same things that the hospital would use. So it's not like the midwives are just showing up and showing out, hoping for the best. Like they're medically trained.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, I think once that got through to people around me, they felt a little better too. And that's another thing, getting my husband on board. I think most people understand a mother's like love for their child even before they're born. No one's going to look at me and be like, you're putting, well, people do. They're like, you're putting your baby in danger. But why would I be putting myself or my baby in danger? I would never want that, you know? So I'm making an educated decision. And I think my husband understood that as well. But yeah, it was important for me to find a midwife that was trained in neonatal resuscitation. So that is a skill that you can look for to ask if you're worried about the breathing aspect. That was something almost everyone said to me when they heard I was doing home birth. Like, what if the cord's wrapped around the neck? What if this? What if that? Again, like, look at the statistics. It's very highly unlikely that a cord wrapped around a neck very, very rarely causes issues. They can breathe just fine. How are they breathing in the womb with their cord around the neck? You know, they're getting oxygen through the cord. My baby had the cord wrapped around her neck 3 times. She was fine. We just unwrapped it. That's all you have to do. Another big concern I got was bleeding, but the midwives carry Pitocin and herbs and tinctures to stop the bleeding. Also, midwives are very well trained in anticipating, like seeing if things are starting to go in the wrong direction and preventing things from even getting to that point.
Also, it's so funny when people say like, oh, my baby's cord was wrapped around the neck, so if I gave a home birth, like my baby would have died. And she's like, not true. Probably. Oh, yeah. Like statistic wise, that's not true.
Oh, yeah.
Also, when women are like, you know, I was hemorrhaging and they said if I would have done a home birth, I would have died. But it's like, what caused you to be hemorrhaging? And also, I think the numbers that they use to qualify as like bleeding out or whatever are actually like so skewed compared to like what a home midwife.
Yeah, the threshold for like how much blood is actually a problem is actually changing in the medical world, too. The medical like stats and stuff are always really far behind. So things are very outdated in the hospital setting. But yeah, a lot of people say like, oh, I had a C-section because the cord was around the baby's neck.
Or the baby was breached.
Or the baby was breached. That's like a really big, that was important to me. I a lot of midwives don't do breech because it's just like becoming a lost art. Mm-hmm. So it was important to me to find a midwife that knew how to handle breech because I did not want to even try to go to a hospital with a breech baby.
Yeah, that was my biggest thing when I like even was looking into home birth. Now, obviously, I'm not pregnant or anything, but was the breech aspect. And it's crazy that I learned that like breech is a normal form of birth. They just stopped teaching OBs how to deliver babies. They make more money when they're making you have a C-section. So why would they keep training doctors like, when they could just be like, yeah, breech, automatic C-section, which is just so crazy because like breech is safe to birth most of the time.
Yeah. OBGYNs are not trained in physiological birth. Like you're trained in case something's or when something goes wrong, I know what to do and step in. But like, then we go into like the cascade of interventions. Is something going wrong because of something they did because of this medication or inductions or whatever? So yeah, it's people die in home birth and people die in hospital births. I mean, that's just what it is. They're just risking everything, you know?
For sure. Okay. So can you go in detail about your home birth?
Yes. yes, yes. Okay. So I was 41 weeks and 2 days pregnant when I went into labor. And that's, a lot of people probably are like, oh my gosh, because in a hospital, that would be crazy. They would have tried to induce me weeks and weeks earlier. And I woke up at around 3 a.m. and I was like, oh, my back kind of hurts. And it like didn't click with me at all. I was like, oh, I just like slept funny on my back. And then I was laying there and I was like, oh my goodness, my back hurts every 7 minutes. How crazy. And then I was like, oh shit, I've got back labor, because that was the one thing I wanted to avoid. So I texted my midwife and then I just tried to go back to sleep. But and you hear about it a lot in like the birth stories I would listen to. The excitement, it's like makes it hard to sleep. But the number one thing to do is just rest, because who knows how long early labor is going to be. So I finally fell asleep again around like 7 a.m. I put on like a little early labor meditation and then slept. And then I was like, oh, cool, we're having a baby today. Like it was July 7th. So I was like, oh, we're going to have a 7-7 baby. And then the day kept going on and I was like baking cookies. I was taking my dogs for a walk and I'm still having these contractions in my back every 5 to 7 minutes. And we're just hanging out and nothing's happening. And I'm like, well, okay. So then we went to bed around like 8 or 9, and around midnight, my water broke. It was like that classic, like felt a pop, like a water balloon, and then like trickling out. And I was like, oh, I like peed myself a little. And then I was like, oh, shoot, no, my water broke. You don't like, it's crazy how like in denial you are when you're in labor. And then I went on the toilet to try to like just see what's happening, like see if we could get things moving along. And my bloody show came out and my midwife said to my husband, things are going to get intense. And I'm like, this whole time I'm thinking like, oh, this is so easy. It's not bad at all. And it did. It got really, really intense. So my doula came around 12:30, and then my midwife and the midwife assistant were about 2 hours away. So they didn't get there till like 2 and 2:30. And yeah, by that time they got there, I was like vocalizing through contractions, which were still mostly my back. Oh, also in the day, that daytime, early labor, I had my chiropractor come over to try to get the labor out of my back.
So this is now at 12 a.m. and 2 a.m. or is this still p.m.? Like this.
Well,
is
the chiropractor came over midday on the Sunday that I was in labor. But then, yeah, when things picked up, it was midnight and 2 a.m.
Got it.
So I was in labor when by the time my water broke, I was in labor for 20 hours.
Okay, wait. So when did it start? Like, when did you get to where you were like vocalized and you're like, okay, this actually isn't fun anymore? You know what
I mean? As soon as my water broke, I sat on the toilet, which they call the dilation station. And I was like making primal sounds that I don't even think I could remake right now. Yeah. So that's when it really got intense. And I had a handful of contractions in my belly and I truly was like, I embrace these. Like, I want this. This is much easier. But because I did a lot of manifesting while I was pregnant, a lot of manifesting. And some things did come true, but one thing I thought about too much, which like in the hypnobirthing world, you're not supposed to think of like the bad things, but I thought of back labor every day and I was like, I'm terrified of back labor. So I think I honestly brought it upon myself. So I also had an anterior placenta, they say, which is my placenta was in the front on the top. And they say that has a little bit higher chance of back labor. Anyways, so started vocalizing. Anyways, midwives get here. I put on a TENS unit on my back, which is like electro shocking type thing, stimulation. And I had it up all the way. I mean, I cranked that thing all the way on my back and it helped a little. My doula started doing like hip squeezes and rubbing my back. I'm like a big physical touch person. So her touching me helped keep me calm. Every time I had a contraction, blood was coming out in the beginning, which freaked me out. Once my water broke, and I wasn't like prepared for that mentally, I think. So I was kind of freaked out. I was like, that was my one freak out moment in all of the labor. Well, I did have a little anxiety in early labor too, just for like a moment, but that passed. And so she just kept reassuring me. That's why a doula is so important. She kept reassuring me everything's fine, everything's normal. And once active labor started, once my water broke, I truly just gravitated towards feminine energy, just naturally. In early labor, all I wanted was to be by my husband. And then later on, all I wanted was to be surrounded by women. So my husband, he was like just setting up the birth pool and getting me fluids. I was always constantly eating chomps and honey and coconut water. And he made me a smoothie with like liver and fruit in it, which if you're in a hospital, you are legally allowed to eat. So don't let them tell you you can't eat. It's very important to keep your energy up. Things were really intense. Around 4 hours into active labor, I decided to get in the pool, which was really nice, super warm, and just like really relaxes you. And you're able to just like rest your head on the edge. And you really do like fall asleep in between those contractions and rest. My contractions were really intense at this point. They were probably 2 to 3 minutes, maybe even every 1 minute. And they were peaking. They were intense. What?
You said the worst.
They were still in my back. But then after a little bit of resting in the pool, and also in those in-between moments, you're like laughing and like talking. You're still very much coherent, which I thought was super interesting. Like everybody was just like lighthearted. There was no bright lights. I was in my safe space. I think that probably, well, I know that helped a lot. You probably don't see that a whole lot in the hospital unless there's an epidural, I guess, and you're just feeling real good. So one of the things I manifested was I wanted to start labor early in the morning, which I technically did, and then end in the daylight. I just didn't think it'd be 28 hours later, but it was in the daylight. By the start, the sun started coming up and the fetal ejection reflex started kicking in. So for people who don't know what that is, usually when birth is like untouched, it will happen, more likely to happen, and your body basically just pushes. You don't push, your body does it. So that started probably happening around 5 a.m. and that was intense. It's not painful at all. Like you basically, I had back labor, but that went away and then it just became like a pressure, like a really intense pressure, like breathing through contractions like I thought I was. I thought I'd be like those cute girls on Instagram that like laugh their baby out. I was like, it took my breath away. I was like, took my breath away and it was scary. You want to like run away from them. So at some point I started like, instead of doing the low, like sending my breath down, I was like screaming high pitch because I just like my fight or flight kicked in. Like you're literally primal, your lizard brain takes over. And so that's when I really started looking. I remember looking at my midwife at one point, like, what can I do? Like help, you know, I wanted to be done. And she was like, you just have to get through it. You just have to do it. I was like, oh, fuck you. Like, help me. She was like, it will happen today. I promise it will happen today. And that made me feel better. So at some point she said, why don't we try standing up? Like, you lean, put your arms around Larry's neck. My husband's a big guy. He's very strong. So she, and I was a big girl at this point. She's like, put your around Larry. So every contraction, poor man had to hold me up. And I was just screaming in his ear and then like, you know, swaying in between after. I'm still standing over the pool. I was thinking in my mind I was going to give birth in the water. And so then at some point after that, it's been hours at this point. I think I pushing was 2.5, 3, maybe 3 hours. I gave birth at 7:30. Yeah. So I was, my body was pushing for over 3 hours. And at some point my midwife's like, let's go on the toilet and try to empty your bladder. And I'm like, F you, you're just trying to get me on the toilet because to get things moving. And the toilet was, I hated it because it really made things really intense. And she was like, yeah, let's just go sit on the toilet. So me and her are in there and I'm cussing. She's just going, I know, I know. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So then at some point, Larry comes back in and she's like, let's try that again. Stand up. Let's get gravity helping. And I got, I got really hot from the pool. And so my heart rate was really high. And so my midwife wanted me to hold, she had an oxygen tank because that's what midwives have. And she had me hold oxygen up to my nose just to like help get my, I was sweating. Like the pool made me really hot. So everything else sounded good. So I was just breathing in the oxygen. No one was nervous or anything. So Larry's holding me up and oh, also for about 2 hours in the pushing phase, I kept screaming, my butt, because the pressure is so intense. It literally feels like your ass is going to come out. And so I was like, my butt, I like waddled to the bathroom, like, oh, my butt. So yeah, I'm like, I'm not pushing, like my body's literally doing it. And then I hear my midwife, she was like, reach down and see if you can feel anything. And I'm like, oh, my baby's bald. And then 5 minutes later, she's like, not bald, not bald. Like, hands coming out, not bald at all, lots of hair. And yeah, she's like, I hear her say nuchal, which I know that means cord around the neck. And I'm standing in the bathroom. We have a teeny tiny guest bathroom. And baby just like shoots out. Midwife is behind me, catches the baby, unwraps the cord, has me sit on the toilet. And I'm just, yeah, just holding my baby. I like the shock that comes over you when you push out a baby is next level. Like the videos are hilarious. I have, oh, that's another thing. My baby pooped as she was coming out. We didn't also know the gender, which was really fun. We did not know the gender. So in the video, you hear me say, oh, it's a girl. And she shit everywhere, like all over the shower curtain, the wall, the ground. So I had
That was you. I thought you told me you did it.
Well, I did too, but we both did. But I had like a poop mustache in the video and I'm like shocked, like, oh, it's a girl. And there's like shit all over me. It was hilarious. But
Of Romy's shit?
Yeah, Romy's shit.
So funny.
It was so funny. So yeah, everything was, it was like the most beautiful, intense, craziest thing. And you're just like in complete and total shock.
Yeah. So were you like, when she came out, were you like, because some people say they're like just overflowed with like joy and excitement and feeling attachment like that second. Like, was that you? Was that your?
No, I actually was sad because like some people say like you feel high. It's like the best high of your life. I don't think I got that feeling. I definitely got that like hormonal wash, like the pain was gone instantly. And like, I didn't remember like how intense it was and anything like that. But no, I knew right away, like my instincts kicked in. Like I have to protect this baby, like feed this baby. I had like crazy, like no one can touch the baby. Like if the baby, I need to know if the baby's falling or crying or whatever, you know, like a really intense taking care of feelings. But I did not feel attached for probably like a month, I would say. And that was my big fear going into it. I was like, I'm like not going to be maternal at all. But like your instincts certainly kick in. But yeah, it took me a while to like, I felt bad. And then you feel bad because you're like, oh, I'm like, don't feel attached to this baby. And then I had really bad gender disappointment too. Like so bad. I felt awful. All I wanted was, since I was a child, all I wanted was a boy. And so, I mean, now, as most women say, like, I couldn't imagine it any other way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I felt, and then you, like, I could cry thinking about it because, like, you feel bad. Because, like, there's, like, this precious little baby and I can't help it.
Yeah.
But I think that's just, like, normal part of.
For sure.
I think that was part of the reason I, like, knew I never wanted to find out the gender because I just love, like, you only get that surprise once in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of it too was I did not want to be sad during pregnancy knowing I had a girl.
I was the exact opposite. I wanted to know because I wanted to get my disappointment out of the way if it was
that
a boy.
Was smart, yeah.
Because I wanted a girl so bad, like so bad. And obviously now I love being a boy mom.
Yeah.
Fine if I only had boys. But that is my biggest fear is like giving birth, looking down and being like, because people love to say like, that's so rude. You should you have a healthy baby. And it's not, we are just grieving like the thought of having a daughter or a son. It's not an actual baby that we are mad about. You know what I mean? It's just like we're grieving like the thought of the life we were like thinking would happen, you know?
Yeah. Of course, I wanted a healthy baby. Of course. Yeah. You imagine, you just imagine how things are going to be. And then when they're not, it's like you got to adjust and it takes a while. So don't feel bad if you had gender disappointment.
For sure. I think everyone does low key. At some point or another.
Yeah. And everyone always asks me in pregnancy, like, oh, what do you think it is? And I never wanted to say I think it's a girl because I didn't want it to be a girl. Yeah. I like didn't want to speak it into existence. So I would just say, oh, I don't know. But looking back, I think I knew deep down because, you know, you try to like talk to your belly and stuff. And we had obviously a boy and a girl name picked out. And I would only ever use the girl name only. And when I would talk to my belly, so I would try to like just not use names because I'm like, I want it to be a boy. But like naturally the girl name would just come out. So I think that was just my way. I knew. I think I just was in denial. But yeah, I'd recommend highly not finding out the gender. It was a really fun surprise.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I feel like next time I won't find out the gender. I just need to like prepare myself for, because I think my biggest fear is just never getting the girl, even though I'd be fine with just having all boys. Like, I think just like, I don't know, me and my mom have a great relationship. I would do anything for my mom. Like, so I just like, I want that eventually. Yeah. But, you know, I just feel like boys, like they leave their moms to go be a husband as they should. and a father. But like girls, you always need your mom. Mm-hmm. Like you'll always have, Romy's always going to prefer your family over her husband's type thing, you know?
They come home for the holidays.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking of the future. Like, I'm just thinking like Barrett is going to grow up. He's going to get married and have a family, which I love. And I hope he does. And I hope he puts his family first. But like,
you know. Well, he'll marry Romy and then we can all just be together.
Probably the best. And, also, I was telling Jordan this, I think maybe last week or whatever, but like, I'm nervous for Barrett to have a future spouse because a lot of kids are like getting all the vaccines. A lot of kids are getting the COVID vaccine. And I'm just like thinking of my future grandchildren. Like, I want them to have a fighting chance of having like good health. So preferably Barrett and Romy get married, have little non-vaxxed babies.
Preferably.
Everyone lives happily ever after.
Which midwives can do all those things at birth if you want them to. I obviously decline, but yes. Well, so it depends on the state. State dependent, but.
So they could have just brought like the, that makes sense. But like the vitamin K and wow.
Yeah. I also declined the heel prick where they like take the baby's blood and test it. It just didn't suit me. Anyways, so after the baby's born, you know, the placenta has to be born. So I walk over to the living room. We like set up the couch bed, which is where I stayed for 15 days postpartum, which I recommend everybody looking up the 555 and doing that postpartum. And I, you know, skin to skin was important to me right away and not cutting the cord till that was done pulsing, which my midwife was fine with. This was the one and only thing my midwife and I disagreed on, which was how long to wait till take action to get the placenta out. She likes 30 minutes and I like to just let it come when it's ready. And she's just likes 30 minutes because she had a lot of clinical experience in like the Philippines and not so well off countries where she just saw bad things happen with the placenta. She was just worried about like blood pooling up behind it. And I just wasn't worried about it. So we waited and we waited and we waited. And it was about 3 hours. And my midwife's like, okay, we need to do something. So I did accept Pitocin to try to get my placenta out. I accepted Cytotec. First, we did a bunch of herbs, a bunch of tinctures. We put, you know, like a breast pump on to try to stimulate oxytocin. I did like sitting on the toilet. Oh, I also could not pee afterwards. I had to pee so bad. I've always had a shy bladder though. So she gave me a catheter, which she could do at home. And I loved it. I was like, yes, this was great relief. Placenta still didn't come out. So then she injected water, saline, into my cord to try to like make the vessels expand. And that worked. That got my placenta out. It was intact. There was very, very normal, if not less than normal, bleeding. And that was my closest I came. She was like, if I can't get this out, we obviously have to transfer you. And I was like, not a chance in heck. I'm going. She was like, they're just going to massage it, which midwives are taught not to massage. So I was like, just massage it, get it out. And as soon as it came out, I had terrible shakes.
Yes.
Like uncontrollable. Uncontrollable. It was crazy. I was not anticipating that. Because that's when, as soon as your placenta's out, your body's like, oh, not pregnant anymore. So the hormones just leave your body. It was intense. My husband does not worry about anything at all in this whole labor. And he looked at her and was like, what's happening? Because I was like,
you like convulse. Like I remember being like,
yeah. It looked like I was like having a seizure.
Yes, like having a seizure and like just looking at my nurse and being like, what is happening? And she was like, you know, it's normal.
No, there was literally, she's like, just breathe through. And I was like,
your whole body is just like control.
It was intense. And then I got a little fever from the Pitocin or Cytotec, which was annoying because then you think, well, maybe what if there is like a little infection or something? So I just took garlic. And the fever went away within an hour and I was fine. So yeah, that was the gist of it. Oh, a big thing people wonder is like about the mess or whatever. My doula cleaned everything up. My midwives cleaned everything up. They stayed for 4 hours after my placenta came out. So they were like 7 hours after the baby came out and they did the newborn exam or whatever. And we like weighed her and literally, it looked like nothing happened in my house by the time they left. It was crazy. And then my midwife came back the next day to check on us. She came back 5 days later to check on us. And then at 2 weeks, we went to her. And then at 6 weeks, we went to her again. And I still text her to this day. She's also, it was important to me. She's an IBCLC, which is a lactation consultant. So I still, like, I texted her 2 days ago a breastfeeding question. Like, she'll text me and check in on us. She's like, once I'm your midwife, I'm your midwife for life, which I think is another beautiful aspect of midwifery, especially during prenatal care. Like, appointments were an hour long rather than the seven minute average of OBGYNs. And we would like chat about life and like get to know each other, which is important. I mean, she's going to see me in my most vulnerable state. So I think that was really beautiful too. And she can do like a pap smear on me. Like, midwives can do things. So
yeah, that's beautiful. Also, I want to point out how much less traumatic I bet it is for babies to be born at home than it is in the hospital. I can't even watch TikToks anymore of babies coming out of moms. They put them on the chest. First, they're flopping them around, but then they use the towel, the rough towel, and rub the shit out of the baby, like to stimulate them. That is so not natural. And I think back and I feel so bad for Barrett that that happened to him, because that is so traumatic. Just be, you know, taken out of your mom. One, the lights are so bright, but two, flopped on your mom's chest and then just rubbed aggressively. Like, I can't even, it's like abuse. Yeah. It's infant abuse, in my opinion.
Well, and then I kept laying there thinking I'd have to like put clothes on her and get in the car and put her in a car seat. I seriously didn't wear a shirt for 2 weeks. We just laid there naked. Like, I couldn't imagine having to like, also I had no core strength. I could barely talk. Well, my throat was really sore from screaming too, but I could barely like raise my voice because I was just so, you know, I just gave birth. I'm like, how do women do this? It's crazy. Like, what we can do, but like, we shouldn't have to be doing that.
Well, also, you held Romy and then that was it. Like, they weren't taking her away to do measurements, give the vaccines. Like, they took Barrett away probably within the first 10 minutes. And like, I was just so like, I was so traumatized from the whole experience that I just like, but like, I thought about it and I was like, wait, like, I want my baby back on my chest. Like, what are you guys like? He doesn't need to be weighed right away. He doesn't need, like, you don't need to be taking him away from me right now. And I just remember feeling like, what the hell is going on? This can't be natural for you guys to be taking him.
Yeah. I don't know why the hospital, a lot of hospitals are trying to do better with the golden hour and stuff, but babies regulate on their moms. Like, I think babies going in like the incubators is like way overuse. If it's the baby's on your chest, you are regulating their breathing, their heart rate, your smells are, and your hormones are communicating. It's really important for breastfeeding too. That's like, we co-slept from day one. She slept on my chest. I was not worried about SIDS or overheating or anything because I regulate her temperature, her breathing, her heart rate. Everything is connected. So it's like disgusting how they don't even let you sleep with your baby at the hospital.
Well, and then the next thing is like, they will take him to the nursery too. Like, some moms will be like, I want a break. Like, I need sleep. Like, just putting a baby. And you just think like this little tiny new human. And I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad because I literally did that. Like, I remember my mom being like, you can give him to the nursery and they can watch him for a little bit. And like, I just remember feeling so out of it. Like, I was like, I have to get some, like, I need help. Yeah. And then now I look back and I'm like, oh my God, my poor baby was just born. He's looking for me. Like, he is born to primarily look for mom. And I just like, I put him in the nursery. Like, what?
Yeah.
It's just so backwards. We just like, we don't like, we are primal beings. Like, babies are born meant to look for mom. That's all they know, is just find mom. And it just breaks my heart that we have like made such a division. And then, you know, people will take their babies home and they'll put them in their own nursery, like away from mom. And like, they're just searching for mom's scent. And it's just, it's so not natural. What?
No.
We have.
And I think part of the reason at the hospital, like, women think like, I want a break, is because they starve you during labor. They check on you every 15 minutes. They don't let you sleep.
Literally every 15 to 20 minutes, nurses were walking in and I was like going insane. Like, they wanted us to spend the night again. And I was like, no, I have to get out of here. I am like going into psychosis. I think I was just so, I couldn't function anymore.
And bright lights. Yeah. I was a doula for one of my friends last year. Her hospital room didn't even have a window. No windows, no outside. It was insane. I was like, there's no concept of time. How do you rest? It was crazy. But my midwife, she like made sure, she was like, now's the time to sleep. Like, just do nothing but rest, all three of you, because, you know, babies don't know when they're born that they're not inside you anymore. It's so for like 6 months, they don't know they're a different person than their moms. So it's just rest. Don't do anything else. Don't feel like you have to go to the grocery store or show the baby off to people. Like, no.
Yeah.
No, no.
And that's a huge thing. Like, prep while you are pregnant so that you don't have to, like, I remember like trying to cook meals, trying to pump at the same time, like sleep deprived. Like I had no preparation at all. Yeah. So, and I feel like you were really good at that. Like
I had a plan. I definitely had a plan, which was important to me. I think everybody worries about the nursery and things for the baby, but it's so important to plan for yourself as well. So I had amazing friends that brought meals. My husband like didn't let me lift a finger for literally like 40 days. There's a book called The First 40 Days, which he read. Everybody should read that. Yeah. He also read Birth Coaching for Dads or something by whoever did the Bradley Method. So that was a book he found really helpful too. But anyways, yeah, definitely have a plan for sure, because you don't need to worry about any of that.
Yeah. Beautiful. I love it. Is there anything that you would have done differently with that first birth?
So in early labor, my husband, bless his heart, he wanted to make sure like he called the midwives at the right time. And we never used the word pain, because that's like a hypnobirthing technique, is don't use the word pain. But he would ask me during contractions, can you rate that effort? And I'm like, I'm trying to not think about them. And you know, Larry, he's kind of relentless when he wants, you know, a question answered or whatever. So he'd be like, oh, okay, rate that effort. I'm like, and I was doing it. But looking back, I told him next, I was like, I don't want to be thinking about my effort. Let's not talk about the effort. And then it's tough because every birth's going to be different. Not all of them are going to be the same. But I think next time I wouldn't have taken the medicines for my placenta. I just think my body needed a little rest. I was in labor for 28 hours and it was going to come when it was ready, but I don't regret doing it at all. I just don't think I would do it again. And I think my midwife would have respected that as well. So I think it's just important to like have people aligned with you. But yeah, I think that's really all I would do differently. A big question that people ask me too is how far are you from a hospital? I'm like 25, 30 minutes. But one thing we did beforehand, which I had my husband do because I didn't want to think about anything scary happening, was he reached out to our local EMTs and said, hey, we're planning a home birth. Like, what hospital are you going to take her to? How long would it take to get there from the phone call and everything? So we had a plan ready, which was my midwife's advice. So, because things do happen sometimes.
How did your family feel when you told them that you were doing a home birth? Or did you even tell them?
Yeah. So I think they knew because I post a lot about home birth and stuff leading up to it. But yeah, I think they were scared. Just scared. So I didn't really bring it up. My aunt asked a lot of questions and she was like, oh, that's so interesting. Like she was curious. And I think that is what's important when talking to family about it, because they are scared. They don't know better and they care about your well-being. So I would just say, you know, we're doing everything right. Like I would never do anything unsafe. And yeah, I didn't want to hear scary stories either through pregnancy. And everybody has a scary story about home birth. So I didn't really want to bring it up. I didn't bring it up really at all, I don't think, unless someone asked. So yeah, we didn't really talk about it a whole lot to family. Even like people in the store, they'd be like, oh, where are you giving birth? And I'd say at home. They'd be like, oh, well, good luck. Or, oh, wow, like that's risky or whatever. I'm like, I don't want to hear that. So it's okay to lie. Just to protect your peace. Oh, that is another thing I wouldn't do. And I had always said, don't tell people your due date. And I didn't think it would bother me that people knew my due date. I would not tell people my due date again because it's just like a guest date. And I actually never told people my due date. I would just say like, oh, end of June. But then like end of June came and people were like, okay, like it's getting dangerous now. I'm like, no, it's fine. Like it's fine. It's fine. So yeah, don't tell people your due date. It's just going to bother you.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of influencers do that now. They'll say like a rough, like, you know, sometime in the summer, sometime in the winter. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, I feel like that is so annoying. Obviously, I've never had a birth or pregnancy while I've been an influencer, but I would so do that because I would never want people just blowing up my DMs asking that stuff.
Yeah. And I didn't tell, I think I told my friends, my two local friends, because in case we needed something, and one other friend that I was in labor and looking back, I'm really glad I didn't tell anybody because it was so long. I didn't want people to worry. And I just like didn't want that negative energy out in the universe. So I didn't tell anybody I was in labor except for those who needed to know, which I think was a really good move. And I would definitely do that again.
For sure. That's beautiful. Protect your peace as much as you can. You know, it's crazy. It's kind of like the vaccine thing. People have such hard stance on things. I'm going back to your home birth, but people have such hard stance on like you said your family thought it was dangerous or people you'd see at the stores. Like, I just hate when people have strong opinions about things that they don't necessarily research themselves. Yeah. I got a lot of backlash for the same for like Barrett and vaccines, but it's just like, what research did you do? You know?
Yeah. Someone, I won't say who, someone after I gave birth was like, oh, well, now you have a good story. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly why I did it. So I could tell people my cool story.
Yeah. People are ridiculous. Yeah. But I love it. I love hearing your birth story. It makes me feel like just, it's like, because I don't know a ton of people who own birth. Like, I know my neighbor does it and she's so cool and it makes me feel good. But like knowing, yeah, one of my like good friends, like, did it too. She can do
it. I love it.
We can do it.
Think about it literally every day. I seriously, genuinely, for probably 2 months after, was in complete shock. I was like, I cannot believe I gave birth at home. Because like 10 years ago, oh my God, if I told myself 10 years ago I'd be giving birth at home, I'd be like, what a wackadoodle, you know? Mm-hmm. You go 10 months being pregnant and you're like, you can feel the kicks and everything, but it doesn't register that there's a whole ass baby in there. So when you push a baby out, you're like, holy shit. Like now you just have this person here. It's crazy. It's the craziest feeling. Yeah, I think about it literally every day. I love it.
As you should. That's so badass.
So badass. Yeah. So at the end of the day, home birth was a great choice. Set me up really well for postpartum as well. I had a very smooth postpartum, nothing outrageous. I think like around week 3, I cried a little bit, a lot of it, but that's normal. Nothing out of the ordinary. And yeah, I recommend it to everybody who has access to it. And yeah, so next episode, we'll have a fun guest on and we look forward to it.
Bye, guys.
Bye. That's it for today's episode of Moms Unbothered. If this conversation made you think differently, question the norm, or even just feel a little more empowered in your health journey, do us a favor. Share this with another mom who needs to hear it.
If you're loving the show, the best way to support us is by leaving a quick review, subscribing, and connecting with us on social media. It helps us reach more moms who are ready to take back control of what goes in, on, and around their family. We'll be back next week with another conversation. But until then, trust your instincts, question everything, and stay unbothered.